Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. What happens when the Lord touches you? What changes about a person when they encounter God? And how does the Lord touch us? How does He change us? Those questions we'll answer today in this wake-up call. Good morning. This is your wake-up call. It's wake-up call 079. I'm your host, AJ, and this is the Faith for My Generation podcast. For all those that have been listening, welcome back. And to those that are listening for the first time today, hey, I'm glad that you're here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read a couple verses. In fact, we went to this passage of Scripture and read verses 4 through 8 last week. So if you didn't catch that wake-up call, go listen to it. I thought it was a pretty good one, but then again, I'm a little biased. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, when the Lord touches you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. I want to focus in on verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. When the Lord touches you, he changes you. Now, in different ways, and by no means will I give you an exhaustive list today, but I have a few ways that I can see from Scripture that when we encounter the Lord, we're changed from the inside out. And honestly, we're changed eternally. You know, that's what salvation is an eternal change, right? When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're changed, and changed for good. All the old, dead, wicked things about us, they're gone. The old man, the old woman, that person's gone, washed under the blood, and we're made brand new. Now, when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, it says that the Lord touched his mouth. It's very interesting because it's very close to Isaiah when he's called. When Isaiah is called, Isaiah also feels like, you know, he's unqualified. And we talked about that last week concerning your call on your life, to remove those feelings of qualification, because if God's called you, you're qualified. But Jeremiah here, he begins by saying, look, I'm too young, I'm too inexperienced to do what you need me to do, Lord. You know, surely there's someone else that can be a prophet to the nations. God said, no, I'm calling you. Then he reaches down and he touches Jeremiah's mouth. And he said, I've put my words in your mouth. When Jeremiah's mouth was touched, he was changed. He was empowered from that point forward. And the first thing I want you to see is this. When the Lord touches you, he empowers you. Jeremiah was empowered to speak the word of God on the behalf of God. The prophet, especially in the Old Testament ministry, these prophets, they would stand before a nation, a people, a king, a tribe, and they would speak as if it were God himself speaking to those people. They would become literally the mouthpiece of God. And they would simply be the conduit, the funnel, the pipe that the word of the Lord would be transferred, would travel through from heaven's throne to these people's ears. And Jeremiah was empowered and given authority to speak on the behalf of God. See, God's word carries power. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we see a phrase here that I want you to hear. Let me read it for you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. It's referring to how the Lord has spoken to us through his Son. You know, it says in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Hebrews that in the days that have gone by, at various times, that God spoke to the fathers by the way of the prophets, like Jeremiah. But then it says in verse 2, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. And in verse 3, it tells us that the Son is the express image, the glory of God the Father. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. I think that phrase is so interesting. The word of his power. The word of his power. His word is the means by which his power is released into the earth. He upholds all things by the word of his power. If you want the power of God to be released in your life, to fill and flood your life, to empower you, you receive the power of God through his word. And that's the key. If you open up your Bible and it's just a book, if you read the Word of God and it's just, you know, black ink on white pages, it's nothing special. Oh, it's a good book to live by. It's got some great principles in it. I think there's a lot of good thoughts in the Bible, but I don't want to get too carried away with it. Then you will never experience the power of God. But the Word of God is the means, it's the vehicle by which the power of God's released in your life. But it only comes into your life, the power of God, when you receive it as God's word to you. You know, this is what made the Thessalonican church very special to Paul. Paul the Apostle, he made this point. He said, you know, to the people, the Christians in Thessalonica, he said, you know what? Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul's saying, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So notice that. The word of God must be received literally as God's word to me. And then when I receive it, believing it, it effectively works in me, those who are believing. You know, I want you to say this. Wherever you're listening, just say it out loud. Say this, by faith. The Word of God is working mightily in me. That's actually an old song, old camp meeting style song that a chorus that you could sing. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. And it has a couple other lines to it. No matter what I think, I feel, or see, or something like that, the Word of God is working mightily in me. Don't know all the words. I know the tune or the idea of it. But essentially, the Word of God is working mightily in you and I, the faithful, because we believe it. It's not just words. When I read the book of Jeremiah, it's not, well, Jeremiah, this prophet, he had a scribe, Baruch, and he wrote it down, and there's probably some of it may have been inspired, who knows, but nonetheless, it is a good historical work. Aren't there some wonderful takeaways from the book of Jeremiah? But let's not get too carried away with it. After all, it's more like a historical document. Well, yeah, if you approach the Word of God like a history book, you ain't going to get a lick of power out of it. You're not going to have any change manifest in your life. No answered prayer. No healing, no provision, no working of the Holy Ghost in your life. No. No miracles, no signs, no soul winning, no sanctification, No being conformed continually in the image of Christ. No, 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 no. No peace, no joy, no love. Uh-uh. As long as you receive the Word of God as word of men, nothing. But when you receive the Word of God and He touches you by His Word, then you're empowered. I mentioned Isaiah. I want to look at Isaiah as well. When Isaiah is called, when the Lord touched Isaiah, he had a feeling of uncleanliness. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Now these are interesting angelic beings. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. Then one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a living coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged, is atoned for." Isaiah, when he received the call of God on his life, and actually continue to read verse 8, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah is called into ministry and called into the office of prophet, and has a long ministry over the course of several kings. And Isaiah, I guess, the book of Psalms would be the largest book. But after Psalms would be Isaiah, 66 chapters. It has so much prophecy in it that is yet to come to pass, but will, because the word of the Lord stands forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 25, it will not pass away, it will not fade, it will come to pass. But Isaiah had a feeling of impureness. He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell around a bunch of people with unclean lips." We all got dirty lips here. Yet I've seen the living God. You know, there's something about standing in the presence and the holiness of God. The holiness of God is full of glory, full of majesty, full of awe. And when you get in the presence of God, you realize, you know what, maybe I'm not all I think I am. Maybe I'm not all I'm cracked up to be. Maybe I'm not as big and wonderful as I think I am. Not to devalue ourselves in light of what God has paid, the price He's paid for us. Not to make less of ourselves in a bad way. But when you get in the presence of God, we're humbled. You can't be in God's presence and not be humbled. You will either do it freely, "Lord, who am I? Who am I to stand before you?" Or if you go in the presence of God pridefully, it will humble you. Because anyone that exalts himself is always humbled by God. And so Isaiah, he feels this sense of impurity, uncleanliness, in the light of God's holiness. And what does the Lord do? One of these angelic beings named Seraphim, who's got six wings, three pairs of two, only flying with two, the other four just for fun, covering his face, his feet, flying, he picks up a hot coal off the altar in this throne room in heaven, this vision that Isaiah is having. And that burning coal purifies Isaiah. And from that point forward, that seraphim tells Isaiah, "Look, you may have felt unclean, but not anymore. You may have felt like you're unclean, but now your sins, you're cleansed of them, and you're atoned for." It's interesting, that fiery coal, it makes me think of what is mentioned of when John the Baptist is referring to Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Luke 3, verse 16, John answers, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he cleanses us, and he does it with holy fire. When the Spirit of God indwells in the believer, it should be our prayer, "Holy Spirit, anything that's not like Jesus, burn it away. Burn it away with your fire. Let that living coal, let the fire of God flush out anything in me not like Christ. And anytime something tries to get back in my heart or my mind that doesn't exalt Christ, that's not honest and loving, that's not true and valuable, that's not beautiful and full of holiness, burn it away. Burn it away." You know, Smith Wigglesworth, there's an account of him where he's walking down the stairs and he's praying. And this prayer he prays, he says, "Lord," Smith Wigglesworth speaking to the Lord and in prayer. And the Lord says to Smith, he says, "Smith, I'm going to burn out everything in you that's not like Jesus." And Smith Wigglesworth replies, "All of it, Lord, every bit." That's the desire that we should have. That's the place we should live. "Lord, anything in me not like Jesus, I don't want it. Cleanse me." Because when the Lord touches you, he purifies you. When the Lord touches you, he purifies you. You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we see it comes by way of the Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. "That he," this is referring to Jesus, concerning Christ and his church, "that he might sanctify," set it apart, "and cleanse her," the church, "with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish." You and I are to be holy and to be clean and to be pure. And that happens by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and by the truth of the Word of God. Last thing I want you to see is this. When the Lord touches you, he sets you free. Mark chapter 7, this is actually a miracle that Jesus performed, and it's a literal miracle. There's a style of teaching the Bible that I think sometimes can be really convenient if you don't believe in the miracles of God. And I'm not saying you can't use imagery and illustrations from literal events like a miracle, but to mysticize or mystify every truth in the Bible is not good. You know, some people will approach the Bible and they'll say, "Well, you know, God didn't really split the Red Sea. It's just an allegory. It's just an imagery to show us that how in life, when we stand before a large obstacle, the Lord will make a way." No, God actually split that Red Sea. I mean, that when Moses lifts up that rod, the hand of God, whammo, karate chopped the Red Sea, split that thing in half, congealed the water up on the sides. Fish are coming up by the side of that water looking like, "Okay, Phil, we're going to have to find another way back home because we ain't going this way. There's nothing but dry land." You know, they walk across on dry land. Now, can you use that literal event of when God actually split the Red Sea in half? Can you use that event and provide an illustration? Sure, but don't go overboard with it. Because I believe in the miracles of God. I believe in all the miracles that took place in the Bible. And what I'm about to read, I'm saying this, I'm prefacing what I'm about to read with, this is an actual miracle that took place. But from it, I can get a spiritual principle, which is this. When God touches you, He looses you. L-O-O-S-E-S. He looses you. He sets you free. Mark chapter 7, verse 31, again departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat on his tongue. You want to get in that miracle line? Jesus spitting on your tongue? Well, if you want healed, you will. Verse 34. Then looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately, his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. See, when the Lord Jesus touches you, just like it literally happened here, for this man, he couldn't hear, he's deaf, and he can't speak. He's got impediment of speech, which is not uncommon. If you're deaf, you don't know what words sound like, especially if you're born deaf. You know, I have some friends that, you know, have deafness, and they speak a little bit different because they haven't actually heard with the outer ear, right? With the ear, what things sound like. So they have to learn, and I can't even imagine learning to speak and not being able to hear. But this man, he couldn't hear, so he also had an impediment in speech. His tongue was stricken. It was bound up so that he can't speak. He's mute, and he can't talk. He can't hear. He can't talk. He's mute. So he's not even able to talk at all. He's mute, and he can't hear. And Jesus touches his ears, he can hear. Spits on his tongue, he can talk. See, when the Lord touches you, you're going to be able to hear. You're going to be able to speak. You're going to be set free. Literally. Now, I literally believe that. If in your body right now you're listening, you need healing in your body, let the Lord touch you and you be freed and loosed from that sickness, from that disease, from that illness. In Jesus' name. Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He is our healer. So receive it by faith and be loosed, be set free. Because here's the reality, John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Because when the Lord touches you in your heart with His word, in your body by His healing power, in your mind, in your, you know, in your emotions with joy, when the Lord touches you, you're going to be set free. You're going to be loosed. The bondage that you once had, you'll no longer have. What once bound you up, you'll no longer be bound. You're set free. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? Aren't you thankful that the Lord still today is touching your heart? He's touching my heart. He's touching your life. He's touching my life. Receive the Word of God. It is His Word to you. Receive the Word of God as it is God's Word to you. Because when you receive God's Word as it is God's Word to you, that's when things change. That's when miracles take place. That's when prayers get answered. That's when lives change. That's when eternal destinies of heaven and hell make the shift. That's when people get saved. That's when people get filled. When you believe the Word of God as it is, God's Word to you, the Lord touches you. And when the Lord touches you, you'll never be the same. Hey, I'm thankful for you. I'm praying that you will continue to faithfully walk out the call of God that's on your life, to continually to submit to the instruction of God's Word, and always be overflowing with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That is my prayer for you. And I know that's your desire because we are the faithful. I will see you next time. God bless you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you. And every Thursday, I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.